Right, let's get straight into this. This is episode 4 of the Modern Business and Fitness Podcast. The other day on Instagram, we put up a post on the Instagram story asking what you wanted to hear about in future episodes. And the main response, or the most common response we had, was about buying a property. What advice can we give? And specifically in this episode, we're going to cover buying your first home. As I stand here today, I am 26 and a half years old. Coming up to 3.5 years ago, I purchased my first property with my girlfriend. So it was 3.5 years ago when we were 23. And I can confidently say that was the best decision we ever made. And I think it's safe to say that going forward, it set us up for life and will only lead us on to bigger and better things. So with property in mind, why should you be buying a property? Well, at some point in life, renting is always going to be a requirement, and renting is okay. There's nothing wrong with it. However, in that time that you are renting, you want to minimize it. And why is that? Because paying someone a rent of, say, £850 a month, well, that sucks. You're effectively paying off their mortgage, you know, whether they're away traveling or on holiday and you're renting their main home, you're paying off their mortgage. Or, you know, whether the property you're renting is one of their buy-to-let properties, you're helping them pay off their mortgage and build up their pension pot. Now, some people might say, I don't care about paying off someone else's mortgage. And if that's your point of view, then fair enough. We all have different views on the world, and I'm willing to listen to them all and take on board your points. But ask yourself this, is your rented property really yours? Does it feel like your home? And what will you do when you're 65? When you want to retire, but you can't, because your rent is £800 a month? Or hell, by the time you're 65, your rent will probably be £2,000 a month for your little one bed flat. So just take that on board for a second, have a think about it, because, you know, a rented property never really feels like your home, because you can't change it to exactly what you want. And when you come to a point in your life when you want to reduce the amount of hours you're working or retire, that rent doesn't stop. That rent doesn't go down in conjunction with that. So how can you take action? Well, I'm imagining most people sitting here listening to this will be in their 20s to their 30s. It could be wrong. And if you're outside of those age ranges, that doesn't mean you shouldn't be listening to this. So there's something for everyone in this podcast. But really, if you're in that 20 to 30 age range, you can easily cut back your outgoings. Putting aside £400 a month shouldn't be too difficult. Yes, some of you might out there be renting at the moment, but this is your time in life to say, can I put aside £400? Can I cut certain things out of my life? Almost take a step back to go two steps forward. And that might be cutting back on some of your luxuries, or it might even going as far as stop renting and move back in with your parents. You know, they will most likely support your goal. Not vouching for everyone on that, but most likely if you told your parents, I need to move back in with you because I want to save and purchase a property, a lot of them will be on board, and you'll be surprised at their response. So let's take £400 as an example. If you save £400 per month, it is going to take you 3 years, but after 3 years, that is almost £15,000. It's not quite, but it's almost. 3 years sounds like a long time, right? Wrong. Those 3 years will come around so quick, and the decision to purchase a property will set you up for life. So 3 years in comparison to a lifetime is nothing. a lifetime of paying rent, that is. And as I say, that rent doesn't go down as you get older. In fact, it's only going to get worse. So I challenge you to try it. I challenge you to cut back your outgoings and save £400 a month. And to save that £400, you need to put it aside as soon as you get paid. Not if and at the end of the month when I've got a bit of money left, I'm going to save it towards buying a house. No, as soon as you get paid, that £400 goes out of your bank account into a separate savings account and you do not touch it. So you start by doing that. You're building up money. As I say, after 3 years, you're going to have about £15,000, which for the average house in the south of England, you're looking at maybe, or average flat, one bedroom flat, 125,000 to 200,000. So there's a big price difference, you know, varying and depending on where you live in the south of England. But that 15,000 is going to act as about a 10% deposit. Which is what you want, really, about 10%. It's not a necessity with the different Help to Buy schemes out there, which I'll cover. But if you want to get the best rate possible, the best mortgage, and set yourself up in the best possible way, 10% would be brilliant. But as I say, you don't even need that much. But if I guarantee, you know, I will guarantee you that if you set yourself a goal to purchase, it will pay off. You know, if you're, even when it comes to birthdays or Christmases, if you usually ask for a designer watch or designer bag, and maybe that costs your family or your boyfriend or your girlfriend £200 for that designer bag or watch, well, you'll be surprised. If you turn around this year and you say, I don't want that, I'd like a bit of spending money towards, sorry, I would like some money towards saving for a property, you'll be surprised at how your family members suddenly find £400 or £500. Not necessarily, but you'll be surprised how they're much more supportive of your goal, getting you a present for Christmas. And as I say, it could even be more. You know, it could be, instead of that £200 designer bag, that could be £400 check. Because they see that you're trying to better your life and do something for the long term and not just short term gratification. So when it comes to cutting back your outgoings, another trick you can do, which I do every day and I implement this every day, it's a really small but it's quite effective, and it is just double question yourself. If you see a nice pair of shoes, you say, do I need that pair of shoes? Like, do I really need that pair of shoes? If I don't get those shoes, am I going to be walking around barefoot? No, probably not. So you don't need those pair of shoes. And that will really help you. Because if you can put off buying those shoes for 1 month, 3 months, 6 months, a year, you know, I'm not saying don't get anything, but I'm saying be really sensible, double question yourself on whether you need something. That will help you save that £400 a month. So once you're ready to start saving, there are a few things that can help you along the way. One of them is the 5% Help to Buy scheme. So if you don't think, or if you think it's going to be more helpful to save 5% than 10%, then go for the 5% Help to Buy scheme. Effectively, what that is a loan from the government so that you can buy a new build property. So they require you to have 5%, and you find a new build home that matches the Help to Buy scheme tick box, essentially. And if it matches their criteria, then they put down 20% for you. So effectively, you'll have a total of 25% equity going into that property, and then a 75% mortgage. So why is that really good? That's good because it means you only have to save 5%, and it means that when you come to buying that new build property, you'll only have a 75% mortgage comparative to someone that was saving 10% and they would have a 90% mortgage. So that means you'll be able to go after better deals, you'll get better rates. Now the negatives to that means that you will have to buy a new build, and the problem to watch out for at the moment is that developers that are building new build properties are actually putting on and charging a bit of a premium. So that one or two bedroom flat that would have cost, I don't know, anywhere between 125 and 200,000 pounds, second hand essentially, they'll charge you 225 for, or they'll charge you 254. So whilst there's a real benefit to getting on the ladder, you just want to be really careful that you don't pay over the odds for a new build. So that's the 5% help to buy scheme. Really good one, and I'd recommend checking it out. The other option is the help to buy ISA. This is nice that you can start through the main banks and building societies, and effectively it offers a really good rate. I think it's about 2.58%. But on top of that, at the end of the year, they give you 25% cash back for free. So a really good opportunity. You don't often get the chance to get 25% cash back off the government for free. I think this goes on for maybe, I think you can do it for about 3 or 4 years. So effectively, if you're saving upwards of, you know, 10 to 12,000 pounds over that time period, you will get an additional 3,000 pounds back over the government. I think it works out about that much, but it's worth checking out on Martin Lewis's Money Saving Expert Tips website, whatever he calls it. It's a really useful website, and he gives some great tips about saving. But given the opportunity, if I had to pick one of those two options, I would almost certainly go for the second one, the help to buy ISA. I think that I would always try and have as much of my own equity in the property as possible. So ideally 10% or 15% mortgage, or the more the better, essentially. But more importantly, why not utilize the chance to get some help from the government? It's free. They're giving it out at the moment, and it only lasts till 2023, I think it is. So definitely make the most of that. And they don't have any stipulations on it, which is the most surprising thing. If you go for the 5% option, the help to buy scheme, they'll make you buy a new build, whereas with the help to buy ISA, there is no stipulation on it. So that's the other thing. You know, I always think I would try and steer towards a second-hand property. Not necessarily, but if you can, you know, it doesn't have to be really old. It could be only 10 years old, but something where someone's bought it and you're purchasing it off of them, and essentially any of the inflation is taken away, because it's not a new build, and there's not a new build developer trying to add his cut of the pie on top of the asking price. But when it comes to the time that you're ready to buy, you're ready to use one of these schemes or put down a 10, 15, 20% deposit, you know, if you get inheritance or you get money passed down to you by family members, put, you know, up that deposit to 15, 20% for the first couple of years. It will really help you get a mortgage. It will really help you get a better rate. But when you're ready to buy, just remember there are additional fees. So you're not just going to need a 10% deposit, for example. You're going to need to cover your solicitor's fees, which I think from memory for me were about £1,500, in that sort of ballpark. Stamp duty fees, at the time that I bought, I think I paid about £800 for my one bedroom flat that I owned with my girlfriend. But now, at this moment in time, you're very lucky. At least I think the government have announced it's at least till 2023, that purchases for first time buyers up to 300,000 do not have to pay any stamp duty. So that's really good. Again, you need to utilize that before 2023. If you're buying somewhere shared ownership, which I will come on to, you can buy up to £500,000 with no stamp duty. And then the last fee is the mortgage arrangement fee. There are some really good deals, mortgage packages, where the arrangement fee is included. I think that's what we did first time round. But there, it's always worth trying to go after the best rate, because over 2, 3, or 5 year fixed mortgages, the better rate can sometimes pay off more than the arrangement fee. So sometimes that the arrangement fee can be about £500 or £1,000. So you're going to need to set aside maybe £2,000 or £3,000 for solicitor, mortgage arrangement fee, and maybe some furniture as well, depending on what you have at the moment. And then, you know, when you're getting down to it, you've got the money in the bank. I would then look to speak with a mortgage advisor just to solidify whether I was ready to buy or not. So a lot of people just tend to go straight to their bank, their high street bank, and I think that's a massive mistake. I don't do it anymore, but as an estate agent of 7 years, I would recommend going to a mortgage advisor, just because of being an estate agent, I've seen people make a lot of mistakes. And also from my personal experience, I went and saw 2 mortgage advisors when I was ready to buy, and the difference between the products and services that they can offer, and the mortgages that they can find differ so much. So, you know, see 2 or 3 mortgage advisors. Don't just rely on your bank, because shopping around could literally save you £50 a month, depending what mortgage you go for. And that doesn't sound like much, but, you know, £50 a month is £600 a year. And over a 5-year mortgage, that's £3,000 difference. So that's pretty crazy. So definitely have a look into that. And the next one would be estate agents. As I say, they're pretty unscrupulous, horrible people. At least that's what the media lead you to believe, but they're really not. Don't get me wrong, they're there to sell you a property, they're there to do a job, but they do get a really bad rep. So when you're ready to buy, walk into 10 local estate agents to the area that you want to buy, introduce yourself, register yourself, and make them your friend. You know, a good estate agent will remember you. And if you're going in there to introduce yourself and then you go in there 2 weeks later, 2 weeks after that, it could really pay off for you, because a good estate agent will remember you, and they'll think of you first when a property comes available. And that in turn could result in you seeing the property before it's even hit the market. Or better still, they could send you a really good deal your way, you know, a cheap flat that they know will just shift out the door. So they just want to get it to the best buyer on their books, or the most active buyer on their books, which is you, because you've gone in there and you've introduced yourself, and then you've gone in 2 weeks later, you've made yourself present to them. So that's another tip for you. I just think that they're a really good tool, and people don't utilize them enough now because of these rubbishy online estate agents. But that's a story for another day. So just moving on, I do want to cover shared ownership. Shared ownership is another thing the government offer. It's on new build properties. I don't necessarily agree with it. I think it can lead you down a bad path. Effectively, you know, these help to buy schemes are meant to be there to help you get on the property ladder and help you out in life. Whereas quite often, people that have gone onto the shared ownership schemes have found themselves stuck on there. So to give you an example, the flat that we bought, we own 100% in terms of the flat. Obviously, we have a mortgage on it, but we own it 100%. The people before us, they owned, I think it was 50%. So they bought it 50% shared ownership. And it's great because it helped them to get onto the market. They had a couple of kids. And without that opportunity, they wouldn't have bought a property, they would have been renting. So it's better than nothing. But with that said, when it came to buying a house, they still hadn't built up enough equity and enough savings to then buy a house outright. So they sold this flat to us. It was a long conveyancing period because of we were trying to buy the whole flat outright and not 50% of it. But again, that's another story. But because of where they'd got themselves to in the, you know, owning 50%. When it came to buying their next property, which was a house, they could only buy 50% again. So they're still, effectively, they are still shared ownership, even though they've moved on to a three-bed house. So I don't necessarily think it offers as many benefits as people will tell you. The other thing is, you know, it's meant to be a better way of life. It's meant to be helping you get further ahead in life. But I don't think it's as good as people package it up to be. You know, you buy a shared ownership property, and then you, each month you're paying off your mortgage. So you're paying £300, £400, £500 for your mortgage. But then that bit of that shared ownership bit, where the government own, or the managing agent own a bit inside your property, you're then having to pay them rent. So on top of paying £400, £500 on a mortgage, you're then having to pay £300, £400 rent to this shared ownership scheme. So personally, I think if you can avoid it, my opinion is to buy outright and, you know, get onto the ladder yourself. So then you can build up equity in your property. You can pay off your mortgage over time, and then that's part of your pension pot. You know, that set yourself up for life. You know, the money that property will build up, and the money that you're paying off your mortgage, in 5 years' time, you can then use that to help you buy a house. So it's really setting you up. Or the other option is, when your property's building up equity, you know, it's crazy that your property in 4 or 5 years' time could be worth 20, 30, or even more, but £20,000 or £30,000 more, which to me is crazy, because that's essentially money that you have done nothing to earn. You've just sat in a property and enjoyed your life. So at that point, as I say, you can help that to buy a house, or you could stay in your flat, your first property, and you could remortgage. I mean, and it's as simple as you request a remortgage, you go through the process of the property being valued, and then you take that equity out, and as if by magic, that money lands in your bank account. That £30,000 lands in your bank account. Obviously, the best thing to do is go and buy another property. So your best option would be to then put that into buying another flat. Bearing in mind, when you do buy a second or third property or so on, you can no longer buy with 5 or 10%. You have to buy with 25%. Not everyone knows that, but effectively, when you're owning more than one property, the government like to see that you have a bigger stake in that property. So hence why you have to have 25%. But that's not unreasonable. That's a good thing. So if the markets do dip and go up and down, then people don't start losing their properties. But yeah, they're my tips. Just before I finish, I wanted to offer some advice on paying off your mortgage. I believe our mortgage has been around the £600 mark, which I might like to add, if we were renting the property that we own, we would probably be paying in the region of £750 to £800. So another benefit there, that we're paying about £600 for the mortgage. And what we did in our first few years is we decided to pay off an additional 10% every month. So once you've signed up for your mortgage, you've moved into your property, you can set up paying off an additional 10%. So a lot of mortgage companies will not let you pay off more than 10% a month. So it's not 10% of the overall, but it's 10% of your monthly amount. They don't let you pay off more, because, you know, they're providing you a service in return for interest on your mortgage. But we paid off an additional 10% each month. So instead of 600, it was 660, because that additional £60 comes directly off the money that you owe. It doesn't pay off any more interest. That £60, I hope this makes sense, that goes directly off the remaining amount that you owe. So it comes straight off of that, and it's a real benefit if you can stretch that extra 10%. I'd really recommend doing that. That really benefited us doing it in the first few years, and it's something that we'll continue to do in the future. the very last thing I wanted to leave on was most of your friends and family will completely support this, particularly your family. They will want you to do well. They'll want you to get on the property ladder. You know, there are some negative people out there, but majority of people, particularly family, they will support you. But with that being said, friends and family do not always like you to see you doing well, particularly some friends, and they will most likely be people who rent, but they won't want to see you doing well. They'll give you negative thoughts and they'll put doubts in your mind. So when they're, you know, when you're talking to them and they tell you, you know, oh, you know, there's a property crash in 2007, what they won't mention is that you know, properties that were worth $250,000 in 2006 that then went down to $200,000 in 2007. You know, yes, there was a bit of a crash. What they won't tell you is that property is now worth $400,000 or £350,000. They will just highlight the negatives. Yes, the property market does have cycles. It tends to be in 4 or 5 year cycles in terms of demand for property, and in terms of crashes in the market, that tends to be every 10 years. We are due a bit of a dip, and Brexit is upon us. So I do imagine that 2019, it won't be a crash, it will just be, if anything, a dip in demand for property and a dip in prices maybe. But we are due some sort of market upset. But with that in mind, also remember that property it doesn't do it as much these days, but over the past 20, 30 years, it tends to double in value every 10 years. So I think I'll finish on that note, because it's a really powerful fact. You know, looking back over the last 20, 30 years, properties have doubled. So just imagine what you could own by the time you're 40, if you're sitting here listening to this at the age of 20. If you have any questions about buying a property, shoot them in my direction. Really happy to answer them. I'd love to do more podcasts on them, actually, because I'm really passionate about property. But for today, that's all we have time for. Thank you for listening. I'm quickly going to give you two action points to take away from this podcast. Number one is start saving today. Don't let today become tomorrow. Get your goals lined out in front of you and chase them. Number two, go and give me a review. I'd love to grow this podcast. Tell me what you think of it. Tell me what you want to hear more of. And then we can get more guests on and get content out more regularly. Thank you, and see you next time.